We're doing the Geret Teiman, and we're up to page Kuf Yutet. The Rambam had been describing how different nations have tried to take us down using different tactics. You had those that tried to do it by force. You had those that tried to do it philosophically. And then a new tactic evolved. And that was to come and claim that God sent me with a new Torah. God, who gave you the Torah, also sent me to tell you new directions. And as such, this new tactic would cause people to doubt, because they don't say we're coming to contradict the Torah. They say, oh no, we're just coming to give you new messages from God, when in fact they are coming to contradict the Torah, but they don't say it overtly. And the Rambam says this is like a person who's in a fight and he sees he can't win the other guy, so he figures, let me take us both down. And so he tries to drag them both to a cliff, so let us both die. If I can't win you, so at least let me ensure we're both down. Right. And the first one who started with this tactic was who we know as Yeshu. Israel, Yeshu was a Jew. Even though his father was not Jewish, but his mother was. Our rule is, if a non-Jew or a servant has a child with a Jewish woman, then the child is Jewish. V'ulam nikra'ehu dat dat dat. The Rambam doesn't tell us what. We do give him a nickname. I assume the Rambam means to say mamzer. We call him that, laflik b'chelpato. It's just a way of saying how derisive he is. But it's not because he's really a mamzer. It's not. We call him all kinds of things, but he's not. Really, he is a Jew. And he was the one who initiated this tactic. He brought people, and he, in his speeches, he aroused people to listen to him, and he said he was sent from Hashem to clarify questions in the Torah, and that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, that all the prophets said was yet to come. And then he went on to interpret the Torah in a way that destroys the Torah and all the mitzvot. And even though he says, I'm not coming to change anything, really, he was coming to permit everything the Torah prohibits, and that was really his intent. He just didn't say it. והרגישו החכמים זיכרונם לברכה לכוונתו קודם שיתחזק פרסומו באומה. And our sages, well, they understood what he was planning before he became famous. ועשו לו הראוי לו, so they took care of him. Doesn't say what they did. Could be they gave him into the hands of the Romans. Doesn't say what they did. If he considered himself Mashiach Melech Israel, so then the Romans would have considered him rebellious. You're saying you're king of the Jews. So then that's rebellious. So it could just be that that's what the Rambam means. He doesn't say. And God already forewarned us through Daniel that there's going to be a person from the Rambam says Paritzei Amenu. I don't know. Maybe the right translation of paritz is the wanton people in our nation, those that deny the Torah. One of them is going to try to destroy the Torah, claiming that he is a prophet. And then he'll enter some large concepts, ve'amal, shehu ha-mashiach, and he'll claim he's the Messiah, ve'shashem yachshileu. And that ultimately, Hashem will not let him succeed. Daniel told us this was going to happen. Kmo sheichshilo has actually happened. V'amro, that's what Daniel says. Uvnei paritzei amchai yinasu'u la'amid chazon v'nichshalu. There are going to be those from your nation, those paritzim, those people that have breached fences, those people that are unreserved and out of control, they're going to try to maintain themselves prophets, and they will ultimately stumble. So, the first one was Yeshu. It seemed like Yeshu was taken care of. And then after a period of time, a religion evolved, and they attributed the religion to him. It was Esav's descendants who propagated this religion. But the truth is, it's a game. Because Yeshu, as much as he was trying to destroy the Torah, he wasn't trying to start a different religion. He was coming with claims and trying to promote himself as a prophet and at the same time trying to destroy the Torah. But he wasn't thinking about starting a religion. They started the religion which they attributed to him. And he, well, Yeshu was unsuccessful because people didn't start doubting the Torah because they realized this guy's cuckoo. And the rabbis were successful in stemming his capacity to influence people. When people saw that he was finished. So the fact that the religion evolved, well, that happened a long time later. And after the Rambam, there arose an insane person, who went in his footsteps. Now, the rabbi is called Muhammad Meshuga. The Rambam, what? No. The Rambam and as did the Ibn Ezra, because they felt that Muhammad believed what he said. They thought he had hallucinations. So they said, okay, there are other people in insane asylums. He was out of an insane asylum and he was walking around hallucinating. Meaning, because Muhammad would walk around and say, oh, I saw a vision and then sell it to people. So the rabbis said, yeah, he thinks he's a prophet. Go to the insane asylum, you'll see other people who also think they're prophets. He might have been a gifted orator, he might have had certain skills that allowed him to get a following. But that's why they called him the Meshuga. You don't find they called Yeshu Meshuga. You do find places that they called Muhammad Meshuga. He went in Yeshu's footsteps, Klomar L'shanot Datenu, also attempting to change our religion. Ho'il ufatach bo hapatach. After Yeshu came along and said I was a prophet, even though a millennium had passed, or a little less, but nonetheless, along came Muhammad and tried the same trick, because he was coming half a millennium after Yeshu. And so he tried. Figured if he could get away with saying he was a prophet, let me try saying I'm a prophet. V'osiv im kol ze kavana acheret, sheradav achar malchut, and he became more sophisticated. Muhammad wanted to have the throne too. Uvikesh yishtabdu lo, and he wanted everyone to be subservient to him. V'itchadesh mashum fursam, so it's famous how the inventions that he stuck into his religion that he developed. But you should know there is a common denominator here between the Islam and Christianity. They're trying to equate their lies with Hashem's religion. And when you try to compare something that's man-made to something that's God-made, it doesn't compare ela letinok. The only one who looks at them and says, gee, they're similar, the only one who would say that is a child who doesn't understand what each one entails. But anyone who understands them doesn't think there's a similarity between them. Run-on sentence, the Rambam says, and if you want to compare, so you have to realize it's like comparing a living person who has feeling, who can talk, who functions, a living person. You compare him to an idol. Someone carved out an idol, someone melted an idol of gold or silver, or cut him out of stone, out of marble. So you shape the marble into the shape of a human being, and you say, gee, they're so similar. Really? Because a fool who doesn't understand what he's looking at, he says, well, on the outside, I don't see a difference. The fool says, this one has a nose, that one has a nose, this one has an ear, that one has an ear. Come on, it's the spitting image. Aren't they the same? Yachshav, so I'll think, Shnasak Moshna Asa Adam, I'll say that they must be the same thing. Because he doesn't know what goes on inside both of them. The marble is solid marble, and the human being is genius. Look at what keeps him working. Look at the heart pumping. Look at all his limbs. Look at how he can think and talk and do and perform. Yeah, but if you're only looking at the externals, so then you say, yeah, they seem similar to me. Someone who's smart, who understands what's going on inside both of them, so then he knows that inside the idol there's nothing. Solid marble, okay. And he knows inside man there's fantastic science going on inside the human body. The biology, the chemistry, the physics of what happens inside the human body, inside the human body. If you only study that, you see how brilliant its creator was. You start learning about how our nervous system works. You learn about how a person can desire movement, and then the neurons and electrons and the neurotransmitters, and how the message goes from the brain to the arm, and how a person chooses to move one muscle and things move. If you start analyzing the human body and you look at the sinews, you look at the parts of the body that can stretch, you look at the parts of the body that are solid and don't stretch, you look at how Hashem connected things in the body, you look at the joints, you look at how Hashem made the different bones fall in place with one another. You look at how Hashem made the body grow. You don't have a guy that suddenly his finger grows and the rest of his body didn't grow. No, the body grows proportionately. You look at how Hashem made each limb fit exactly in its place. You look at how the limbs that move, the heart has its room to pump and it's made pliable in a way that it can pump the blood. You look at how Hashem made certain parts of the body, certain veins that don't move. If they didn't move, you'd have a problem. How Hashem divided throughout the body the different parts of the body that should be more mobile and less mobile. And look at how the whole body rests one limb on another, be it externally, internally, the flesh, the skin, the bones, everything is encased. One encases the other. You have ribs, they protect the heart. You have a skull, protects the brain. Everything is fashioned in an intelligent way. Even the way, the shape of our skull around our eyes protects. Did you ever think about it? You don't get to see too many people whose eyes are knocked out. Hashem fashioned the shape of our face. You see people who have bashes on their eyelids and broken noses, but it's rare that you see a guy who got bashed in the eye. Why? Hashem fashioned the whole skull in a way to protect the eyes. Look at it. Look at the brilliance. Go compare it to a piece of slab of marble, just because externally it was carved that way. The same applies to a fool who looks at the Torah and he doesn't understand what's really going on here. He doesn't understand the depths of the mitzvos. When he tries to compare our religion with the fake religion, with the religion that is man-made, that is synthetic. Yachshov sheyesh b'nei erech v'dimyon. He'll say, gee, they seem similar to me. Hoil v'imtza b'dat Hashem isur v'heter. He'll say, gee, the Torah tells you something are permitted, some things are prohibited. Uvadat amzuyevet anifelet. And in the fake religion, in the synthetic religion, k'mochen, he'll say, they also tell you certain things are permitted and prohibited. Uvadat Hashem yimtza min avodot. He'll say, gee, in God's religion, they tell me how to serve Hashem. They also have different things they say you should do. V'dat Hashem yesh batzivim al bevazrot v'anoshim v'sachal. In Hashem's religion, so you have commandments, you have warnings, you have punishment, you have reward. Ukmochen bezotam zuyef etanifelet. The other one seems similar. Ve'ilu haya yodeh pnimiyotehen. If you'd only understand what's really going on with the mitzvos, what a life of a Jew who keeps mitzvos is, what the depths of keeping mitzvos is all about, haya yodeh shadat elokit amitit, he would know that the true godly religion, shechokhmata bifnimiyoteh, that the wisdom is within. Each mitzvah has tremendous wisdom, tremendous balance, tremendous logic. There isn't one mitzvah or one warning in the Torah that does not move a person forward towards becoming a whole person. Every sentence, every mitzvah, every prohibition. If you only understand how balanced it is, how attuned it is to humanity and life on this planet, then you understand that this is the way to live. U'machikin mimenu nezek, shemoneh mimenu hashlemut ahi. You'd realize that the mitzvahs of the Torah are what prevents a person from harm. It helps a person attain wholeness. And through the Torah, a person perfects what type of human being he is. A person perfects his understandings of the world to the masses on their level, and to individuals, each one on his corresponding level. And through the mitzvos of the Torah, humanity can unite, you can have communities, you can have cohesion, and through this wholeness, the wholeness of a person's traits and a person's understanding, klomar, hashlemut harishona shehitmadat kiyumo ba'olam hazeh al chiyuv ha'inyanim hanaotim la'adam, that wholeness that allows a person to remain alive in a balanced way in this world. Together with that capacity to understand. Remember, the Torah is here not as an illogical religion, but as a logical religion. The Torah is here to train us to understand. So then you're going to have that balance. You're going to be able to have cohesion. People are going to be able to treat one another nicely. People are going to live a whole life, and people are going to have understanding about what life is about on this planet. V'yadua k'mochen, it's also known, sh'adatot ha'en amidamot ledatenu, that those religions that are trying to compare themselves to us, hen dvarim she'en lehem pnimiyut, in truth, you're not going to find that depth over there. Ela sipurim v'dimyonim. You'll find stories, you'll find allegories, you'll find people imagining things. People are saying things where their goal is to attain their own honor. People want that people should say about them, ah, he's like so and so. Now, the Rambam said a mouthful here. So I think we'll read two more lines, but the Rambam said a tremendous amount here. And I have to tell you that the first time I learned this, I remember walking away from the Rambam and saying, I'm glad he's convinced, but I'm not. I remember reading this as a youngster, and I didn't know much about the Torah, and I didn't know much about other religions, and I just said, okay, so you know, he's very set, and that's how he views. I wonder if the Rambam were a Christian, if he wouldn't write the same thing. If the Rambam were a Muslim, wouldn't he say the same thing? And then I matured a little bit, and I started learning more about what's going on in the world, and more about what the Torah really offers us. And every time I relearn this is the third or fourth time we're learning this here at Machon Meir, I understand the Rambam better. But I'll admit to you that the first time I read this, I felt like, he's so biased. That's, you know, fine. Every person will tell you that. No one compares to their religion. Okay. In just a minute. V'itbara avarianuto. L'neged ha'chachamim. The sages realized that Muhammad was not learned. And Muhammad was really a bandit. He was a gangster. the rabbis realized that. So they just mocked it. They said, what a fad. Okay, so you had Hare Krishna, you have all kinds of fads. They passed. The rabbis looked at what Muhammad was doing and they said, gee, that's a mockery. He's going to start a religion? Just like people go to the zoo and they look at the monkey and they say, look at him, he's behaving like a human, he's eating a cereal with a bowl and a spoon. That's how the rabbis looked at Muhammad when he started developing his religion. They said, wow, look at him, okay, he's trying. Then it evolved. But that was the attitude that they had, because they said, this is so far from anything real, this is comical.
So they didn't have